أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله الذي ليس لأوليته ابتداء ولا لأزليته انقضاء وانحصرت الأوصاف عن كنه معرفته وردعت عظمته العقول والذي لا تواري عنه سماء سماء ولا أرض أرضا ثم الصلاة والسلام والتحية والإكرام على سيد البطحاء سيد المرسلين والأنبياء أبي القاسم محمد المصطفى. وعلى الجوهرة القدسية البتول العذراء سيدة النساء فاطمة الزهراء وعلى بعلها أمير المؤمنين وبنيها الذين أذهب الله عنهم الرجس وطهرهم تطهيرا. لا سيما على بقية الله وحجته الكبرى الذي بيمنه رزق الورى وبوجوده ثبتت الأرض والسماء ولولاه لصاحت الأرض بأهلها واللعنة الدائمة على أعدائهم أجمعين من حين عداوتهم إلى قيام يوم الدين. أما بعد، فقد قال الإمام الباقر عليه الصلاة والسلام: عالم ينتفع بعلمه أفضل من 70,000 عابد. صلوات. تعزيات and condolences to all of you respectable brothers and sisters, as tonight we are commemorating the martyrdom of our fifth Imam, Muhammad al-Baqir alayhi salatu wassalam. Our fifth Imam is the muassis of the uloom, the founder of the knowledges of Islam, and he was 3 years old in Karbala on the occasion of Ashura, and he spent 34 years under the imamat of his father Ali ibn al-Husayn al-Imam al-Sajjad alayhim as-salatu was-salam. Nineteen years is the duration of his own imamat and walayat, and his kunyat is Abu Ja'far al-Awwal, and his laqab is what is given by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam as al-Baqir. Baqir in Arabic means at-tabaqqur, at-tawassu' in Lisan al-Arab, which is the biggest dictionary of Arabic language. The writer says tabaqqur means tawassu', means expanding something. يعني عرف أصله واستنبط فرعه. Someone who knows something deeply by the roots of that, and he expands that knowledge. So this is exactly what was done in the history. So we call him باقر علوم النبيين. He's the one who expanded and spread the knowledges of all the prophets. Definitely our beloved prophet Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the waris of all the anbiya and he has more knowledge than all the previous Anbiya. So he has what all the Anbiya and all the prophets had, plus much more than what they had, and he had more than anyone else. So all those knowledges are transferred one by one to the upcoming Imam, and those knowledges and sciences were the founder in our history who expanded and promoted and spread those sciences is Imam al-Baqir alayhi salam. And this has been documented in the history by some of those opponents of the Imam. Mukhalifin in the history have doing the i'tiraf, they confessed Imam alayhi salam is the one from whom significant number of scholars of Islam, Sunni and Shia, both have been narrating. some of the most famous ones is Kisani and Amin Mubarak and Zuhari and Auza'i, Imam Abu Hanifa, Imam Malik, Imam Shafi'i, Ziyad ibn Munzir. And if you go into the history books, you find Tabari and Bilazari and Salami and Khatib al-Baghdadi and al-Iskafi, al-Muruzi, al-Isfahani. They are all historians of famous books in the history, in the subject of history of Islam, and they have been narrating their narrations from Imam al-Baqir alayhi salam. So it's a known fact that the knowledge was spread from the Imam. On our side, if you come to the Ashab of the Imam, we have quite a long list of his Ashab, but some of the greatest companions of all times in the wide numbers are found, if you look at the chunk of narrations that we have, the largest number of narrations and the narrators are in the time of Imam al-Baqir and Imam al-Sadiq alayhi wasalam. So this shows the level of service that these two Imams have done for spreading and protecting the knowledge. I feel obliged to mention some of the greatest personalities like Zurara and Suma'a, who were brothers, and Abu Basir. Abu Basir is a very great companion, one of the Salihin, and likewise Fudail ibn Yasar and Muhammad ibn Muslim, who was a faqih and a mujtahid and a very high level scholar, and Buraid ibn Muawiyah al-Ajali, who is one of the four greatest ashab of the Imam, and likewise Muhammad ibn Muslim. So in one of the ahadith from Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam, let me tell you that hadith I have written here, where Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam had said, and that's narrated from Jamil ibn Darraj, he says that Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam said, Bashir al-Mukhbitina bil Jannah. So give the glad tidings and basharat to Mukhbitin about the paradise. And then Imam mentions the names of those Mukhbitin. Buraid ibn Muawiyah al-Ajali and Abu Basir and Lays ibn al-Bukhtari al-Muradi and Muhammad ibn Muslim and Zurara. So then Imam says, Arba'atun Nujaba, Umana Allah ala halalihi wa haramih, walawla ha'ula, lan qat'at athar al-Nubuwa wa ndarasat. So Imam alayhi salam mentioning these names of the companions, and obviously all of them are the ashab and students of Imam al-Baqir alayhi salam, And some of them were also actually all of them were also the students of Imam Sadiq alayhi salam. So they are called as Nujaba, means the chosen ones, and Umana means Umana of Allah, the trusted ones of Allah, for whom Allah trusted over his halal and haram. So, and if they were not there, the signs of Nubuwwat and prophethood would have been, eliminated. So, Nubuwwat and its the sign of Nubuwwat would not survive without that. So, this is the greatness of the Ashab, which shows, obviously, the greatness of the service of the Imam, who produced those students. When you find the student is that great, you understand how great is the teacher. Imam himself has said in his hadith, "Nahnu jambullah." We are the side of Allah. Wa nahnu hablullah, and we are the rope of God. Wa nahnu. All of these words require, significant discussions. Wa nahnu. Rahmatullah ala khalqihi. We are the mercy of Allah upon His creatures. So we learn in the light of this hadith, if someone gets the rahmat of Allah, he becomes attached to the Ahlul Bayt. This is exactly what rahmat actually is. Because all we get, all the mercy we get is actually through the Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam. Bina yaftahu Allah wa bina yakhtim. Allah starts through us and Allah ends through us. Like I said, all these words require so much detail to be talked about. Wa nahnu a'immatul huda, and we are the leaders of guidance. Wa masabihu duja, and the torches of darkness. وَنَحْنُ الْعَلَمُ لِأَهْلِ الدُّنْيَا, and we are the flag for the people of this of the world. وَنَحْنُ السَّابِقُونَ, and we are the ones who take the lead. They take the lead of on everyone else, even on the rest of the prophets of Allah. وَنَحْنُ الْآخِرُونَ, and we are the last ones. We definitely believe our imams are the last ones and the first ones. They started, everything started through, from them, through them, with them, and will end with them. The last person to die is the imam of the time. So they are the last ones. Man tamassaka, so whoever, gets attached to us, lahiqa, he joins us. If you get attached to Ahlul Bayt, you will join them, you will be with them. وَمَن تَخَلَّفَ عَنْهَا عَنَّا غَرِقَ, and whoever turns away from us gets drowned. نَحْنُ قَادَةُ الْمُحَجَّلِينَ, we are the leaders of those who have nur emitting from their foreheads on the Day of Judgment. We are the leaders of those people who have the nur coming out of them. وَنَحْنُ حَرَمُ اللَّهِ, and we are the holy sanctuary of Allah. وَنَحْنُ الطَّرِيقُ, and we are the way. There is no other way. According to what my teacher said, anything other than the path of Ahlul Bayt, like in Farsi they say, Rah and Birahe. So anything other than the Sirat is not considered to be a path. These are ditches of fire. So anyone who gets off the track from the Walayat of Ahlul Bayt is basically is not at all on any path, and nothing else can be called a way of life. Was siratul mustaqim, and we are the straight path. إِلَى اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلْ towards Allah عَزَّ وَجَلْ وَنَحْنُ مِنْ نِعَمِ اللَّهِ عَلَى خَلْقِهِ and we are from the blessings of Allah on His creatures. وَنَحْنُ الْمِنْحَاج and we are the path. For every ummat, for every, you know, we find for various ummats Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala provided a sharia and a different minhaj to follow. And the minhaj are the Ahlul Bayt alayhimus salam for these times. They are actually the minhaj for all the times because all roads lead to their walayat. وَنَحْنُ مَعْدِنُ النُّبُوَّةِ and we are the mineral of prophethood. وَنَحْنُ مَوْضِعُ الرِّسَالَةِ and we are the place of the message. That means this household where Ahlul Bayt belong is where the Risalat and the greatest message of Allah on the greatest messenger arrived in this household. They are all part of one household. وَنَحْنُ أُصُولُ الدِّينِ and we are the pillars, the roots of the religion. The religion survives because of them. So, religion is basically because of them. وَإِلَيْنَا يَخْتَلِفُ الْمَلَائِكَةِ and all the angels of Allah come down upon us. So, angels are their servants and all of them come to them. وَنَحْنُ السِّرَاجِ لِمَنِ اسْتَضَاءَ مِنْ بِنَا and we are the light, the candle or the light for anyone who wants to seek the light. Anyone who wants to seek the light should come to this candle. وَنَحْنُ السَّبِيلِ لِمَنِ اقْتَدَى بِنَا and we are the path for the one who follows us. وَنَحْنُ الْهُدَاتُ إِلَى الْجَنَّةِ and we are the guides towards the paradise. وَنَحْنُ عُرْوَةُ الْإِسْلَامِ and we are the rope of Islam. وَنَحْنُ الْجُسُورُ وَنَحْنُ الْقَنَاطِرُ and we are the bridges. And we are the flyovers. مَنْ مَضَى عَلَيْنَا أَسْبَقَى whoever follows upon the path of Ahlul Bayt, you know, follows them, he takes a lead. وَمَنْ تَخَلَّفْ عَنَّا مَحِقَى and whoever turns away from us gets eliminated. وَبِنَا يَضْرِبُ اللَّهُ يَصْرِفُ اللَّهُ عَنْكُمُ الْعَذَابِ and Allah removes the punishment from you people through us. Remember what the Holy Quran has said, مَا كَانَ اللَّهُ لَيُعَذِّبَهُمْ وَأَنْتَ فِيهِمْ وَمَا كَانَ اللَّهُ مُعَذِّبَهُمْ وَهُمْ يَسْتَغْفِرُونَ Allah is not going to punish them, you know, as long as you are among them, in other words. That's what we learn in the light of this verse. So Allah said to the Prophet, and right now, the inheritor of the Prophet is Imam Sahib al-Zaman alayhi salam. And the punishment on this ummah is not arriving because of the wujud of Imam Sahib al-Zaman alayhi salam. And he says, "Man absara bina, whoever sees through us." That means we look at things through the vision of Ahlul Bayt alayhim salam, to their world view, through their eyes. Wa arifana wa arifa haqqana, and whoever recognizes us, our ma'rifat, recognizes our haqq. Haqq means the haqqul walaya of Ahlul Bayt. Their right of rule and khilafat of Allah. وَأَخَذَ بِأَمْرِنَا and takes our command. So whoever does that, فَهُوَ مِنَّا he is one of us. So Abu Basir comes and he was a blind man. He was one of the very great companions. And so much has been narrated by Abu Basir. And he comes to Imam alayhi salam and he was blind. And he was wishing to regain his eyesight. So Imam alayhi salam said to him, you know, what we learn in the light of that narration is that Imam said to him that you want the hisab and accountability of Day of Judgment to be easy for you and remain blind, or you want to go through that accountability and hisab and regain your eyesight? When Abu Basir got these two options, he said, I want to remain a blind person so that my hisab and accountability on the Day of Judgment is easy. So, this is how we find Imam alayhi salam had been teaching lessons. His lineage is what we call Najib min al-Tarafain, because his mother is Fatima bint al-Hasan, salamullahi alayhima, this daughter of Imam al-Hasan alayhi salam, and obviously his father is Imam al-Sajjad, who is the son of Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam. So his lineage reaches Hasanain alayhim salam from both the sides. This is one of those specific mukhtasat of Imam al-Baqir alayhi salam. And because of those change of governments taking place, five different rulers were changing governments, and starting from Walid ibn Abdul Malik ibn Marwan to Sulaiman ibn Abdul Malik, and then Umar ibn Abdul Aziz. And this time, his time, obviously, the government of Banu Umayyah was at the weakest point, because he was a little bit good towards the Shias and Ahlul Bayt alayhim salam, and he stopped the curse and the la'nat on Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam from the members that was started by Muawiyah. So that was the most shaky time for the governments of Banu Umayyah, and then came Yazid ibn Abdul Malik for a short time, and for another short time was Hisham ibn Abdul Malik ibn Marwan. And Imam alayhi salam was poisoned, the history says, upon the command of Hisham ibn Abdul Malik, although the qatil is Ibrahim ibn Walid ibn Abdul Malik, but he was he killed the Imam upon the command of Hisham ibn Abdul Malik. Now, some of the times in our fiqh, we say that the killers, there is a mubashir and there is a sabab. So in our fiqh, we use these terms. So if a person is killed, the killer of the person is the mubashir, the one who directly killed him is called mubashir. And sabab is the one who is behind the scenes, who is sending this guy to go and kill. Some of the times the mubashir is aqwa, is more liable for the sin. Some of the times the sabab, the person behind the scene, is more liable for the sin. It depends. You have to analyze the whole situation. Like the killer of Imam al-Hasan alayhi salam is Ju'da bint Ash'as, la'anatullah alayha, isn't it right? The daughter of Ash'as, leader of Munafiqeen of Kufa. But she is the Mubashira, the one who actually directly kills Imam al-Hasan alayhi salam. But the sabab behind her is Muawiyah. Isn't right? And he is stronger. He is stronger in his evil towards Imam al-Hasan alayhi salam as compared to Ju'da. So it depends. You have to analyze the whole historical situation. And the punishments in Islam also depends, after analyzing, the qadi analyzes between the sabab and the mubashir before servicing the punishments. So in the case of Imam al-Baqir alayhi salam, it was Ibrahim ibn Walid ibn Abdul Malik, who is the mubashir, who poisons the Imam, but the sabab is Hisham ibn Abdul Malik. Now, Imam alayhi salam had so much been narrated from him. Every Friday, Imam al-Baqir alayhi salam used to give 1 dinar as sadaqah. And he used to say that sadaqah on a Friday becomes muda'af, it's multiplied. So this is what we learned, that on every Friday, no Friday should pass by in our lives that we didn't give a sadaqah. It should not happen in the life of a mu'min. So we should give sadaqah minimum once in a week on a Friday. Maximum, obviously, we have narrations, if you give sadaqah in the day, it removes the nahas, the evil of the day. And if you give the sadaqah in the night, the Prophet says it removes the nahas and evil of the night. So we give sadaqah as many times as we can, isn't it right? You are helping out the poor people, and actually you are helping out your own self. Because remember the hadith of Imam al-Sajjad alayhi salam, where he said, ضَمِنْتُ عَلَىٰ رَبِّي أَنَّ الصَّدَقَةَ تَقَعُ عَلَىٰ يَدِ الرَّبِّ قَبْلَ أَن تَقَعَ عَلَىٰ يَدِ الْعَبْدِ. I guarantee towards my Lord that the sadaqah falls in the hands of the Lord, of Rabb, before it falls in the hand of the servant. So before you even give it to the faqir, before the sadaqah reaches the faqir, faqir is going to benefit when he gets it. Isn't it right? Imam al-Sajjad is guaranteeing that Allah received the sadaqah before that faqir person receives it. So definitely when Allah receives it, so you are actually benefiting your own self. Allah doesn't benefit, we are the ones who benefit. It is narrated from Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam, that my father was Kathiru Zikr, used to gather all of us and used to do the Zikr of Allah till the sunrise. And from Tulu'ul Fajr al-Sadiq, the time of the true dawn of Fajr, till the sunrise is not the time of sleeping. I mean, we should try our best not to do that. If we sleep, we should better sleep after the sunrise. This where is the time for zikr of Allah. And it's also mustahab, if you recall. I think I talked about in one of the classes, it's mustahab to visit the maqabir, the graveyards, before the sun rises. Isn't it right? Ziyaratul Qubur, Ziyarat Ahlul Qubur is mustahab to do before the sunrise. So, now coming to the hadith that I wanted to elaborate tonight, is the one which I recited in the beginning, where our fifth Imam, alayhi salam, has said, عَالِمٌ يُنْتَفَعُ بِعِلْمِهِ أَفْضَلُ مِنْ سَبْعِينَ أَلْفِ عَبِدٍ. That means a scholar from whose knowledge people benefit is superior than 70,000 regular worshippers. Regular mu'min who doesn't have proper knowledge, but he performs the ibadah, prayers and various ibadahs, isn't right? He's an abid. He's a worshipper. Abid. Abid means a worshipper. So you just imagine 70,000 of those worshippers, and you imagine one scholar from whose knowledge people benefit. This one scholar is superior than 70,000 of those abid and worshippers. In some of the narrations, we learn that one scholar, now we are talking about the word alim means who knows his duties towards Allah. That's the minimum definition of a scholar. Obviously, scholar ilm has darajat. It's not obviously one standard level. Different prophets have different levels of knowledge. We all know that, isn't it? It's not just one standard level of knowledge that we need to learn. There's so much. Prophet had been commanded by Allah in the Holy Quran to say, Rabb, qul rabbi zidni ilma. Isn't it right? Say, my Lord, increase me in knowledge. Which in the tafsir our scholars say, Prophet's knowledge is already complete. His levels of ma'rifat are increasing. So obviously knowledge is not just one standard level. It's basically limitless. It's true to say that knowledge is limitless because ilm is one of the sifat az-zatiyya, one of those attributes which are nothing but the essence of Allah. And because the zat of Allah, the essence of God is limitless, la mahdood, so the knowledge is also limitless. If you remember in the hadith of the Prophet, he said, Rabbi zidni fika tahayyuran. Isn't it right? That's the madmun riwayah. So the knowledge is limitless. So we're talking about those of the ulama who practice their knowledge, like Imam al-Khumayni ridwanullahi alayh, al-Imam Baqir al-Sadr rahmatullahi alayh, al-Imam Musa Sadr. We're talking about these types of personalities. You know, these people like them deserve to be called ulama. So one alim is superior than 1,000 abid and 1,000 zahid. Zahid is a person who abstains from getting attached to this dunya. And some of the narrations tell us that one alim, the example of an alim is like the fadl and superiority of the sun over the stars. You look at the sky and you look at the brightness of the star, of the sun, and look at the brightness of the rest of the stars. So there is no comparison between the brightness of the sun with the rest of the stars that are visible to us. Doesn't matter, those stars may be billions of years away from us, and they may be bigger than the size of this sun in their actual location. That really doesn't matter for me in my life. For me, the light visible to me in my life is little and smaller as compared to the light of the sun. Isn't that right? That's what we are discussing. And some of the narrations tell us that one rak'at of a faqih. Now, faqih, my teacher, Ayatullah Jawadi, hafazahullah, he had said when the term faqih, this is the istilah of mutaakhirin. People who came in the later ages started to use the word faqih in, use the word faqih for a mujtahid person. Isn't it right? Whom we call Ayatullah or mujtahid, and taqlid is haram upon him because he himself has ijtihad in all the chapters of Islam. So we call, usually nowadays, we call that person to be mujtahid or faqih as a mutaradif. Two mutaradif and synonyms. But in the ahadith of Ahlul Bayt alayhimus salam, my teacher says the word faqih means a person who is mutafaqih fid deen. Someone who has in-depth knowledge of the religion and its ma'arif is called faqih. Not necessarily he is a mujtahid that he taqlid becomes haram on him, not in that sense that we use today. So one faqih, one rakat of the prayers of a faqih is better than 70,000 rakats of an abid. One rakat. Just pay attention to the importance of knowledge tonight. And sleeping, nawmun ma'a ilmin, sleeping with the knowledge is better than praying with jahl. One guy is a scholar and he's sleeping. He's doing nothing. He's sleeping and relaxing. And the other abid person is doing salawat, one salat, then other salat, and he's doing ibadat and ibadat and ibadat throughout the night. And this alim is just sleeping. In the eyes of Allah, he is afdal. When a mu'min dies, and he has written something of the knowledge, any ilm of Quran and Ahlul Bayt, he wrote on a paper, waraqa, on paper. Now this paper on the day of judgment will be a sitr, a curtain between this mu'min and the hellfire. You'll find in the qabr, in alam al-barzakh, any paper upon which you write one hadith of Ahlul Bayt or one ayat of Quran in your life, this paper will be there in your qabr and it will be a hijab between you and the flames of the fire. It will not allow the flames of the fire to reach you. This is the importance of knowledge. So if we have money and we can spend some money to publish some knowledge of Ahlul Bayt, you can spend your money to print some book which has some ilm of Quran, some ilm of Ahlul Bayt. Look at the importance. We are not talking about if people read from that knowledge and from that book and then they practice that knowledge. We are not talking about going into that tangent yet, which has so much more sawab. We are just talking about just writing on a paper anything from Quran and the knowledges of Ahlul Bayt. That paper is now a curtain between you and the hell. Just writing. And then the hadith says, Allah will provide in lieu of every alphabet, every harf that is written by you, Allah, in place of every alphabet, Allah will provide you a city. You will be the owner of a city in paradise, which is that city will be bigger than this dunya. And when a faqih dies, remember what my teacher said, faqih means mutafaqqih fi deen, someone who has in-depth understanding of the religion. You may not be a mujtahid necessarily. And the opposite is also true. You may be a mujtahid, but you are not a faqih. Because you are not mutafaqqih fi deen. I'm sorry to say that, but that's also possible. When you find Shah of Iran, La'natullah alayh, is distributing the Risala al-Amaliyya, Tawdihu al-Masail of Shariat Madari, free of cost. So, if a faqih dies, the angels of Allah start crying. And we never find, I never read in my life, when a mu'min dies, the angels cry upon. I never read. If they cry, I don't know. At least I never read in my life. That when a mu'min dies, every regular mu'min dies, angels cry. I did not read that. But when a faqih dies, angels of Allah started to cry. They start to cry. And the places of earth, Biqa'ul Arv allati kana ya'budu fiha, those points on the earth where he used to stand and perform ibadat, let's suppose he performed two rakas of prayers here, he performed two rakas of prayers there, he sat on that area, recited Quran, he was talking about, you know, some ayat, some hadith on that city, on that land. All those pieces of lands are now crying to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the doors of the heaven, Abwabu Sama, the doors of the heaven from where his amal were taken to Allah when he was alive, those doors of heaven start to cry for the faqir. And Saluma fil Islam, Sulmatun la yasudduha shay'an. There is a breakage. There is a rupture taking place, which nothing can fill up that gap. Definitely, the gap of a faqih cannot be filled up. Another hadith says that innal mu'minin al fuqaha husunul Islam. That's the madmuna riwayah, that mu'min fuqaha are the forts of Islam. So Islam is protected because of those fuqaha who have tafaqquh fi deen. right? They are the ones actually who are protecting Islam. Not the, not, you know, they are the real fortress. You never find the hadith of the Prophet saying, you know, those people who are, you know, regular mu'min people are the ones, or regular abid people, or regular zahid people are the ones, or regular wari' people who abstain from the harams, or regular salih people who perform the salihat, are the husoon and fortresses of Islam. No, that's not what we read in any hadith. The fuqaha are, who are mu'min, are the ones who are the forts of Islam. Islam is protected because of them. So one person comes to the Prophet and says that if I can participate in tashyi'ul janaza, or I can participate in ayadatul marid, paying a visit to a sick person, or I can participate in majlis of an alim, which one shall I choose? There's a mu'min who is ill. We all know there's so much sawab for ayadatul marla in Islam, paying a visit to the sick people. Isn't there so much sawab in Islam? Very, very good. Sunnat of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then some person dies, so it's obviously wajibun kifai to go and participate in the tashyul janaza. Or hudur, presence in the madlis of an alim. Now, it's a very long narration. I'm just telling the gist of that in my own words. That Prophet said to him, if there are people to take care of the janaza, then certainly going to the madlis of an alim is superior. And Prophet says that going to the madlis of an alim is superior than participating in 1,000 janaza and ayadat, paying a visit to 1,000 marid and sick, and spending the night for in ibadat for 1,000 nights. Just imagine, for 1,000 nights is like more than 3 years. More than 3 years you have been staying up all the night and you are just doing ibadat of Allah. That's not easy. But all the 1,000 nights of ibadat on one side and paying a visit to 1,000 mu'min people who are marid, that sawab on one side, and visiting, participating in the janaza of 1,000 mu'mineen on one side, and you go and visit and sit in the gathering of an alim, that is superior than all that. And the Prophet did not stop here. He said that it's better than 1,000 dirham of sadaqah. And it's better to the masakeen. And it's better than 1,000 hajj. Except your wajib hajj. You're going for 1,000 times going for a hajj is inferior in the eyes of Rasulullah than sitting with an alim for maybe for a few minutes. For some, the hadith did not mention the time frame. It's mutlaq. Even if you sit for some time, the hadith will apply according to the rules. So for example, you sit with an alim for 10 minutes. Just imagine those 10 minutes of your sitting with an alim and 1,000 hajj. And Prophet didn't stop here. He said 1,000 times jihad, except the wajib jihad. So sitting with an alim is more superior than 1,000 times of jihad. Even one jihad is so superior that the hadith says that مَا مِن قَطْرَةٍ أَحَبُّ إِلِ اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلْ مِن قَطْرَةِ دَمٍ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ. There is no drop more mahbub, more beloved in the eyes of Allah than the drop fallen, you know, in the path of Allah. So if you do the jihad fi sabilillah, your blood drops on the ground. That drop of blood is the most superior, most mahbub in the eyes of Allah. But you, let's suppose you did 1,000 times you did the jihad, as compared to 10 minutes of sitting with an alim. And then Prophet says, jihad with money and with your life. He didn't only mention jihad with your life, jihad with money as well. 1,000 times you did jihad with your money, that means you donated your money for the sake of Allah for 1,000 times. And 1,000 times you did jihad, that means you, when you step out of your house, you already made up your mind that you want to get killed for the sake of Allah. So you already give talaq to this world, isn't it, and the life, isn't it right? But that's all inferior as compared to those few minutes of sitting with an alim. And Prophet says, did you not know that Allah is obeyed due to the knowledge? The Prophet did not stop here. He's constantly, you know, increasing further and further and further to that person who asked that question. Did you not know that Allah is obeyed because of the knowledge? Because of knowledge. And the khair and good and goodness of dunya and akhirat is due to the knowledge. And the shar of dunya and akhirat is because of the jahr, because of jahl. Then Prophet said to him, shall I not inform you about a group of people when they would come on the day of judgment? People will do, will become jealous. Ghibta. There are two words in our Islamic morality I did talk about, I remember, in one of my speeches when we are talking about those values of Islam. Hasad and ghibta. Isn't it? Hasad is something which is manfi and negative. Hasad means, you know, we pray to Allah for zabalun ni'mah, that we want the ni'mat of Allah to be removed. I see some ni'mat for some mu'min, I can't tolerate. I have hasad, God forbid. I want zawalun ni'mah. I want from Allah to remove that ni'mat from him. This is called hasad and jealousy. That's bad. It condemns. It's haram to have hasad towards a mu'min. It's not allowed in Islam towards a mu'min. And the opposite is ghibta, which means you are not praying to Allah for zawalun ni'mah, that Allah removes that ni'mat from this mu'min. You are actually praying and wishing in your heart that the same ni'mat that Allah gave to him, may Allah give the same ni'mat to me as well. This is called ghibta in Arabic. Okay? So Prophet says that when alim will come, shall I not tell you about the group of people when they will come on the day of judgment, they are neither prophets nor shuhada, but people will do ghibta because of their manzilat, because of their status. Because they will be on the manabir, on the members of Noor. And when somebody asks the Holy Prophet, who are they? And Prophet says, they are those people who used to make people close to Allah and Allah close to the people. Obviously, how do you make people close to Allah? By the ita'at. Amr and nahi. If you teach the people about amr, the ma'roof of Allah and the munkar of Allah, isn't it right? And tell them, this is what Allah likes, so you do it. This is what Allah dislikes, you don't do it. This is how people, when they obey, we get close to Allah by ita'at. Anyone who obeys, Allah would love him. In kuntum tuhibbun Allaha, فَاتَّبِعُونِي يُحْبِبْكُمُ اللَّهُ. Isn't it right? If you love Allah, then follow me. This for Rasulullah. يُحْبِبْكُمُ اللَّهُ. Allah will end up loving you. So, another hadith says that praying salat, praying with an alim in غير مسجد الجامع, not in al-masjid al-jami. Al-masjid al-jami is that masjid where Salatul Jumu'ah is installed with all of its shara'it. If you read Salatul Jumu'ah without the shara'it, the masjid will not be called al-masjid al-jami. Praying with a scholar anywhere other than al-masjid al-jami has 1,000 rakat of sawab. Let's suppose you go to an alim and you pray behind him, and that place is not al-masjid al-jami. You get 1,000 rakat of sawab. And if that place was al-masjid al-jami, then you get 100,000 rakats of sawab. Look at the magnitude of benefits of spending time with an alim. And Allama al-Hilli, rahmatullah alayhi, in Risalatun Sa'diyya, has narrated this narration from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, and I will end my speech here. The time is getting late, I will end my speech here, inshallah. So he narrated from the Prophet that he said that giving sadaqah to ulama has 7,000 times of the reward. You give, for example, $1 to an alim, a sadaqah, an alim who is muhtaj, for example. And this is 7,000 times the reward. I never read in my mutala'a, I never read, a reward higher to any sadaqah, even higher than giving sadaqah to your, to your relatives, which definitely in Islam, the concept of sadaqah starts from your, actually from your parents. If your parents are muhtaj, you're not supposed to give to anyone else. First things first, give it to your parents. And after the parents, aqriba, your relatives. Isn't it right? That's how the sadaqah starts, from the parents. But the highest sawab is not with that. The highest sawab is towards giving sadaqah to the ulama 7,000 times. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it's also narrated that Allah says that if a person goes and visits and sits with an alim, Allah says, you sat with my beloved, I swear to my izzat and jalal, my dignity and majesty, that I will combine you with him in paradise. So sitting with an alim has the reward that we will be with that alim inside the paradise. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give all of us the tawfiq to learn and to practice the ma'arif of Quran and Ahlul Bayt alayhim salam. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ahli Muhammad. Ya Allah, ya Allah, ya Allah. Ya Allah, ya Allah, ya Allah. Ya Allah, ya Allah, ya Allah. Ya Allah. اللهم انصر الإسلام والمسلمين واخذل الكفار والمنافقين اللهم انصر من نصر الدين واخذل من خذل المسلمين اللهم انصر واحفظ وأيد علماءنا الربانيين ومراجعنا الربانيين لا سيما الولي الفقيه قائد المسلمين اللهم انصر جيوش المسلمين وعساكر الموحدين اللهم فك عن الأسراء المسلمين وفقنا لما تحب وترضى وعجل في فرج مولانا صاحب الزمان واجعلنا من أنصاره وأشياعه وأتباعه وأعوانه بجاه محمد وآله الطاهرين. Let's recite the Ayatul Kareema for all the mu'mineen and mustadafeen and mahrumeen and mazlumeen, especially those who are defending the atabat and shrines of Ahlul Bayt alayhim salam, those mu'mineen who are in the prisons, Ayatullah Shaykh al-Nimr, hafizahullah, all the mu'mineen who are who went, the hujjaj and zuwar who went for the hajj and ziyarat of Ahlul Bayt alayhim salam for their salamah and afiyah and protection and safe return to their homes. For all the mu'mineen who are sick, some of them have requested for dua, and all those mu'mineen who have hajat. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم أمن يجيب المضطر إذا دعاه ويكشف السوء 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 اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد